Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Alrighty, hour number two, coming live for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Friday around the country. 3 hours every single day. We got you, Tiki and Tierney, minus Tiki. Tiki's back on Monday, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Tiki, if you're watching, I agree. That's so funny. He does it all the time, too. That's just the first time I called him out. I agree. What is my crutch? That's his crutch. Like, when he's half listening and he wants to either make his point or he just doesn't want me, he wants me to finish or just don't want to really listen to what I'm saying. I'm like, I agree. What is my crutch? Because we all have them. I know I've got one. What is it, D-Cell, Mike? Anything jump out? Nothing jumps out? Nothing?
There's not a specific word or phrase.
Yeah.
You just kind of like stare blankly at whoever you're talking to and just kind of agree. Yep. So what do you think about this? And then you'll just change the subject.
Well, that's called...
There's no specific...
That's called respectful nonverbal communication or acknowledgement. I mean, just when you carry on, you know, you like kind of... I got you. Yeah. You know, let them know that you actually care what they're saying, which most
of them don't. Yeah, but there are people, you know, they use a lot of you knows or know what I'm saying or like.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
But you don't have any of those specific.
Oh, that
ticks.
Was beaten out of me in Catholic school. I mean, right away, like first and second grade. Not literally beaten out of me. That would have happened in the 50s or the 60s if I was in Catholic school in the 50s or the 60s. When I went, you couldn't hit the kids, but. You could grab them kind of hard and push them, but you couldn't hit them. And they drum that out of us. You know, they would say, what, like? No, they would force you to finish your sentence, which actually is a good thing. All right, James Bradberry will be with us next segment. Got hung up a little bit here, Carolina Panthers D-back, but they are on the way up. So rather than just kind of thrust him in mid-segment, we'll start the new segment with him, talk about, you know, where are they? You know, 7-9 last year, Cam's... not really healthy. Cam's at a very interesting point in his career. He's not a kid. He's certainly not old, but he's got some mileage because he plays like a warrior. The division's very good. We'll talk some football with James coming up next segment, which gives me an avenue to get into this, and that is the Lakers and that their dysfunctional mess of a circus. I don't know how this power has bestowed upon the Rambuses. Like, I'm not saying that they're not entrenched. I'm not saying they're not capable. Please don't take this the wrong way. And this is nothing against the Rambuses or their basketball acumen or their whatever, their place in the organization. I just never thought, like, you think about the 80s Lakers and the pecking order of power. Did you ever think Kurt Rambis would be sitting here making decisions? Kurt Rambis. It just doesn't make any sense. He'd probably been sixth or seventh on that list. I mean, Byron Scott would have been obviously Magic and Kareem and Worthy and Byron Scott and a few others maybe. So anyway, it's a very strange situation with the Lakers. And by the way, how many people showed up to that protest? It was pathetic, wasn't it? Like 70 people? I heard Rome ripping on this.
The most notable person that showed up was Clipper Daryl. Who's a famous
Clipper Daryl?
He's a famous Clipper fan. You know, like everyone fan. You know, like Fireman Ed.
Yeah.
Except the Clippers have this guy Clipper Daryl.
I never heard of him.
So he showed up, being like, "Listen, if you guys don't like the Lakers, just come to our side."
Boy, I like him. I don't know, but I like him. But it was really uninspiring, right? Did they have a visual? Have you guys actually seen? I heard Romy bagging on him, as only Romy can. He was lighting him up pretty good. It was funny, but it didn't seem like there was any sort of urgency.
Maybe 20 people.
They can't even protest properly.
They're all kids, though. They're all like 17-year-old kids from high school taking the day off. Maybe they're skipping, you know, senior year. So
senior
they
can
come day? Out. Yeah, there's like maybe 15 or 20 kids out there.
I hear the Knicks have tried to. Knick fans tried to do that a couple of times over the years with Dolan. I know a bunch of people who jumped in, and it was certainly more than 90. I mean, at least there's a couple of hundred people out there on 7th Avenue making some noise in an orderly manner, but still being heard. That is a paltry appearance by the Laker fans. So the Lakers are a mess. We all know this. We spent a lot of time on the coaching search yesterday. And, you know, one thing that came up, and it was not a report, it was a thought. And this was at least 3 months ago at this point, where I said that I really thought that the Lakers should entertain trading LeBron James. And, you know, whatever, not to pat myself on the back, but now everybody's talking about this. And I can truly say that I was the first one to say it. And it's got some merit now. Now, the different angle here, and now it's becoming a bit of a report, as opposed to me just, you know, theorizing what they should do to kind of accelerate their rebuild. So Stephen A. reported that confidants of Jeannie Buss are now imploring her to, in fact, trade LeBron James. All right. Now, on the open market, like, if you, first of all, you've got to wrestle with a couple of things. The natural attrition of LeBron, and I know statistically he was still very good. We went 28-8-8. Yeah, I get that. Everybody recites the numbers. I know they were pretty good. But you can't discount the odometer, and it is what it is. And that's not going to change. Especially as he is physically, he still has a finite window to play basketball. And, you know, what that is, we'll find out eventually, like Kobe and others that just kind of, you know, wither away, whether it's got a bit of bad injury or just, you know, you just can't quite play anymore the way he used to. We'll get our answers. I'm not trying to throw him out to the shed prematurely. LeBron's still great. But what complicates this, if the Lakers were even open to this possibility, and I don't know if they are or if they are not, but if you're thinking of trading for LeBron, aside from dealing with his basketball mortality and getting a proper evaluation as to what remains, you also have to understand, or at least factor in, is he going to be happy? Like, where is he going to be happy? If he wasn't happy at home, he wanted to leave Cleveland, and he's not happy, I mean, can't be thrilled. And by the way, I don't blame him. I mean, Magic just bolted, dissed him. And he's not happy. Although, to be fair, LeBron knew what he was signing up for. He had a weak roster. He had Ron Palinka making decisions for the first time and Magic Johnson making these decisions for the first time. So don't tell me that LeBron was blindsided by this completely new Lakers model that he knew what he was signing up for. All right, he just thought that he was good enough to overcome it. But what team, like, who would even want to trade for LeBron James? Who? And, like, what situation? Is it a young team that's miles away from winning, that's just desperate to accelerate their curve but and willing to give up the young pieces? Is it a team that is a middle-of-the-road team that has some good pieces but not championship pieces like the Brooklyn Nets? And, you know, take a flyer on that. I mean, who would even want them? D-Cell, go ahead.
Going through what you're saying, trying to find a situation that works.
Yeah.
Now, when I say this team, it's half in jest and it's half real.
Okay.
But I can't find a better one.
Go ahead.
The Clippers.
The Clippers. Well, okay, what is so enticing about that? From first, give me the Clippers' point of view. And, I mean, that's pretty obvious because LeBron is LeBron. Why would that be appealing? First, well, here's the thing. I'm going to go against one of my only rules in business here in terms of trading.
And I
you know where I'm going.
I get it.
You know, this comes up a lot locally, like, you know, hey, if the Mets or the Yankees have a need here in New York, and you hear this, you know, when they hit this on the local scene, if both teams can come out better, should you consummate a deal? I guess the same could apply for the Jets and the Giants, so it's a different dynamic there. Should you do it? If both teams, if both get an asset and both are able to propel them themselves in a direction that's advancing, and I say yeah. I mean, I can't worry about public sentiment or scrutiny on the radio if it's a deal that I believe in my heart with great conviction based on my personnel background that it's going to make me better. All right, but this is a little different because the Clippers, while the Mets are, no disrespect, Met fans, you know, the step, little annoying brother to the Yankees, a little annoying gnat in the room that's buzzing around the barbecue. The Yankees are the real deal, and the Mets aren't. We know that. But at least the Mets profile is a million times higher than the Clippers. I mean, it just is. So if I'm the Lakers, I can't risk cutting into that monstrous gap that I enjoy in terms of marketplace share and reverence and all the other things that you can quantify financially. That I can't do. So even if it makes sense for me from the Lakers' point of view to get back assets, and it certainly makes sense for the Clippers, because then they might get Kawhi, and they're set up to win a championship, I can't do it if I'm the Lakers. That's the one I could not do. Now, I heard a little bit drive it in today. Again, locally, even though I bounce around local and national, you know, listen, I'll tell you who I listen to. I have no problem popping on Colin Cowherd. I think he's terrific. I think he's smart. I think he's really good. I love Rome. I'm here, you know, when Rome's on the air, so I get to hear him in studio. Romy's a legend. Locally, I'll pop it around. Sirius XM, NBA, you know, a little bar stool. I'll check out the entire radio scene. So I did hear today, though, locally, a lot of Knicks fans saying, trade for LeBron. Are you out of your minds? I wouldn't want LeBron James anywhere near the Knicks. I don't want him on the team. I don't want him. You didn't want us in 2010. I don't want you now. When you're a depreciating asset, get lost. I don't want him on the Knicks. Don't want him. I don't want him. Don't want him. Just had to get that off my chest because I heard Knicks fans calling up saying, oh, please get LeBron. Delusional. Get LeBron. He's 34 years old. All he wants to do is make movies and bad movies at that, you know? No, stop. Stop.
Well, hold on. We haven't seen Space Jam 2 yet, so we can't tell if it's bad,
gonna be bad
yet.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be really bad.
It's going to be bad.
Have you gone back and watched the original Space Jam?
I haven't, but I'm going to with my kids.
It's so cheesy. And it's,
oh, but no,
I mean,
it's cheesy good.
Well,
wait, let me ask you this,
you know,
Mike.
The best part of it is the music. Like the Monstars, like that rap with...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, LL Cool J and Busta Rhymes and Be
sure.
Real.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually not bad.
Not bad at all. Good 90s stuff.
I Believe I Can Fly, although we probably shouldn't be talking about that guy anymore.
Do you think that's something like Who Framed... If you were to go back and watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit and you watch that now, would that seem corny?
No, but Who Framed Roger Rabbit was like the first kind of R-rated cartoon of its time.
Yeah.
Right, so like you go back, it's still a little cheesy, but it's really good.
Yeah, it is. It's
and
very
Jessica
good.
Rabbit. I mean, I don't care what you're saying,
I
cartoon
you.
Or not.
I hear you. A little tamale, no doubt. I hear you. Cartoon or not, and then he gets off camera, makes me look like the weirdo. He says, "Cartoon or not, she's hot," and the camera's back on me, and I'm agreeing. All right, is he here yet? We got him. But just to finish up that LeBron stuff, which is a conversation Tiki and I started 3 months ago, by the way, here on Tiki and Tierney. It's gaining a lot of steam now. I don't think it will happen unless he demands a trade. And if he demands a trade, then I believe just for the direction and overall health and betterment of the Lakers, you're going to have to acquiesce because then what's already toxic comes poisonous to the point where it can no longer be saved. I believe there's still a little lifeline there. If you hire the right coach, whomever that is, somebody he respects, you get a good draft pick, maybe you get a B-level free agent, you know, you can at least muster something that's salvageable. But if LeBron starts causing a stink and says, get me out, and it's obvious, and he has a real public power play, then you got to trade him. You got to move on. All right, James Bradberry from the Carolina Panthers. How's Cam's shoulder? We'll talk to him about that. The direction of Panthers, a little NFL. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. All right, so my guy Tiki is out, but look who's sitting in his seat. James Bradberry from the Carolina Panthers, who is going into year number 4, a good player, a durable player. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. You were telling me you hit the circuit so far. You did a little something with GQ today.
Yes, sir.
The guys and gals, GM, Good Morning Football, they have a good show, a little fun with those guys this
yes,
morning,
sir.
Right?
Been up all day, but it's been fun so far.
Oh, all day? Like you're digging ditches. You're doing radio and TV interviews. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's been fun, though. Yeah, I'm not used to all the spotlight, but I'm getting used to it now.
Yeah, you seem like a low-key guy.
I try to be.
Quarterbacks aren't like that. Quarterbacks have to be, you know, all this blustering, talking smack, and you know, shimmying and dancing.
Yeah.
You seem like you're a different kind of cat as a quarterback.
I mean, everyone expects me to be like talkative and brashful and talk a lot, but you know, growing up, you know, I admired guys like Darrell Revis.
So, that's my guy until he left, and then you know, I had to dislike him a little because he went to the Patriots. He didn't want a championship there. But did you pattern your game after him?
Is that he was very good in his press technique. You know?
Oh, like a strong, thick, stronger than people think. Like a really strong base, strong torso. All right, so you and I, before we get to the Panthers, we were talking a little bit about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the show, and as a professional athlete, I don't know if you'll appreciate this or if you want to beat me up here. I'm tired of James Harden. Like, this is it. Like, this is the night that if James Harden doesn't deliver tonight, he's got no Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. Boogie's been out. The Warriors have no bench. I know they've got championship heart, and they still have Steph and Clay. I get that, and a good coach. it is go time for James Harden to win this game and play well. You think James Harden's going to? I know you're a basketball fan. You think he plays well tonight?
For sure. You know, but I mean, he's not the only one on the court. You know, you got Chris Paul, you got some of the other guys on the team, so I feel like they're going to help him pull it out.
Yeah, but hold on a sec. I you're right. I mean, when he is on the court, there's four other guys next to him. Literally, sure. You are correct. But we don't talk about the four other guys. When things are going well, we say James Harden. So when things are going not so well, don't you think it's kind of fair to, you know, bear the brunt on the guy who gets most of the praise when it's going well?
Yeah, for sure. But me, I'm a guy that always try to look at the bright side of things.
No, so. I am too. I mean, for the most part, I got you. All right, so how was Cam Newton? Talk to us about Cam. How's the shoulder? Let's get into your football team. Great division. Mm-hmm. A lot of good quarterbacks. A lot of tough offenses you have to play against defensively. But let's start with your team. 7-9 a year ago. Obviously, McCaffrey's a beast. We know the shell of the defense is still very strong. Good fan base, good history. Where's Carolina right now? Where are you guys at as a franchise direction-wise right now? Where are you going?
I feel like we're trending upwards. You know, we're making some changes on defense. You know, we're switching to a 3-4 defense. And I feel like it's going to put more pass rushers on the field, and we're going to be able to get after the quarterback more. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that creates more opportunities for me and Dante Jackson on the outside.
Get some more picks.
For sure.
Yeah.
And, of course, on the offense, you know, C-Mac, you know, he's a beast.
I was just saying this the other day. I mean, the last hour, I should say. I saw a picture of him the other day, I meant to say. And he's always been pretty athletic and pretty yoked. He looks like he put on 20 pounds of muscle. He's a big kid.
Yeah.
His biceps.
I seen the picture we had posted, and you know, I had to take a second look at him when I seen him in the locker room. But, I mean, he told me that's just the picture. But he's still
Is that what he said?
He's still strong. He's still the same size. But, you know, he's gonna show up to work every time he comes in there.
Oh, he's terrific. We're talking to James Bradberry, cornerback for the Carolina Panthers here on Tiki and Tierney in studio, CBS Sports Radio. So when you guys go through, and a lot of players go through this, whether it's 3-4 to a 4-3 or 4-3 to a 3-4, whatever it might be, obviously, you know, the core of your responsibility doesn't necessarily change as a corner.
No.
Technique's not going to change, but how much does the playbook actually change? Like, how much do you have to inhale this offseason as you switch defenses? Is it a lot? Is it something that seems overwhelming?
Like you said, for the cornerback situation, it really doesn't change because our job doesn't change on the outside. We still have to cover our man.
Mm-hmm.
Still going to be pretty much man-to-man, cover three quarters concepts on the outside. But it really changes for the D lineman and the linebacker, so the front seven. You know, they've had to learn a lot more in the past few days with the OTAs going on. So, I mean, it's interesting for them guys.
Let me ask you this. So you line up at the line of scrimmage, and opposite you is a receiver. And is it easier for you with your skill set? Would you rather face somebody like, well, Mike Evans is big and he can run a little bit. Somebody that's big and maybe a little slower, right, that you know isn't necessarily going to get behind you,
mm-hmm.
or somebody who is more diminutive in terms of stature, but it's a blur, and if you miss him on the first jam, he's going to get by you and you can look bad 70 yards in the air. What's the tougher cover for you?
The tougher cover is definitely the shiftier guy.
The smaller, shifty guy.
Like Tyreek Hill, John Brown, those guys.
But how do you play them? Like, what's the key to making sure that they don't get vertical?
When I lined up against him, you know, I crowd the line of scrimmage, and I try to get my hands on them, try to knock them off their reference point,
mm-hmm.
or their targeting spot. Pretty much slow them down, stay on top of them, and they can have the slant, they can have the hits.
You'll give that to them.
Yeah, I can't let them have the nine route.
No, no way. Can you tell right away when you line? Let's say if it's a young receiver, if he's a second year kid and he wasn't, and you didn't play him the previous year, maybe somebody from a different division. Can you tell within the first couple of snaps if this kid wants to get physical? You got to know right away.
Oh, for sure. Normally, you can see that with in preseason. Mm-hmm. You watch preseason film because you know they got to play their rookies. So we watch a lot of that and try to scout them then, and we'll see if they're real physical or not, and go from there.
Okay, when you look into, we're talking to James Bradberry for the Panthers, you look into the backfield of the Saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Drew Brees, and you're, what are you, about 25 years old now?
25.
All right, 25. Drew's basically 40. He's 15 years older. Does he feel that much older? I mean, is the ball still zipping? Are you starting to notice? And I know you're not, I'm not asking you to diss the great Drew Brees, but are you starting to notice just a little attrition setting in where maybe Drew isn't what he was when you first came in the NFL?
The way they run that offense, man, he's still slinging it.
Mm-hmm.
He's very accurate with the ball. You know, that's the one thing that sets him apart from other quarterbacks. It's not necessarily how far he throws it, just how accurate he is when he does throw it. And he's still able to do that. So, I mean, it still sucks for us on defense when we go against him.
I don't know how he does it. I mean, and he doesn't really get hit that often. That's the amazing part about it. Guys like Tom Brady, Tom's 41 years of age, and he's obviously a different body type. He's bigger, he's stronger. But these guys don't get popped that much. They're hard to hit. Why is that, though?
It's a time clock in their head. You know,
yeah, but still. I mean, everybody's – I hear you. No doubt. And I want you to expand on that. But it just seems the guys who – even Eli. And Eli's not in that caliber. But, you know, Eli, for the most part, does a good job. And he can't run at all. These guys that play – you know, 13, 14, 15 years, they're so good at not getting hit. That would drive me nuts. If I'm you, I would just want to pop one of these guys, just land them once, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I feel like the way the game is ref nowadays, a lot of the D linemen, they're kind of second-guessing themselves when they do get a hold of the quarterback. And also, you know, you have guys like Jameis Winston, Patrick Mahomes. They're very they're dual-threat quarterbacks nowadays, so they can get away.
Yeah. And it's funny you bring up Mahomes because now, you know, whether you're a linebacker and you're dropping back in coverage or you're a corner, obviously, safety not as much. But, you know, you start to look at a guy like Mahomes and you think you have him pinned into a certain part of the field, whether it's the sideline or a certain spot. And now all these quarterbacks are throwing from different arm angles. Russell Wilson's done it for a while. Patty Mahomes does it like he's a shortstop on the baseball field. You know that Kyler Murray's going to be doing this for the Arizona Cardinals. The evolution of the quarterback, and your quarterback now was a pioneer in his own right, you know, big, strong, and fast. The quarterbacks are getting smaller. They're not getting bigger. They're getting smaller.
Yeah.
That's got to be pretty odd to see that happening because it's happening in real time right now.
Yeah, I know the worst thing for a DB is to have a quarterback get out of the pocket and buy time for the receiver. So, of course, it's scary when you go against those quarterbacks, but, I mean, you just got to – it kind of helps you that you go in a 3-4 defense because those ends on the outside can help contain those quarterbacks and keep them in the pocket.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be able to do that when we face guys like that.
So what – yeah, I hear you. Otherwise, you're going to be round long. So what's up with the LA hat? You a Dodger fan or you just rocking – just representing the city here?
Just representing the city. I seen it, and I was like, I like the hat, and I want it.
Are you a Lake – who's your best – I know we talked basketball before. Who's your basketball team? You have one?
Growing up, I was an LA Lakers fan. And
what do you mean was? What does that mean was?
I don't really watch basketball like that.
Okay,
other than the playoffs, but during the year, I don't really watch it.
You think LeBron, how crazy is it? You know, we talk about LeBron all the time on the show. Mm. What a circus with the Lakers. I mean, he didn't make the playoffs.
He did. I mean, he's still LeBron.
Is he though?
I feel like he's still LeBron.
Is
he had that groin injury.
Yeah.
And I feel like if he didn't have that, you know, they might have made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I feel like they would have made it to the playoffs.
No, I don't disagree with that. They were a 4 seed when he got hurt. He got hurt on Christmas Day. I was talking to James Bradbury here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, one of the things that Tiki and I talk about all the time is the constant rules, tweaks, and changes. If there's – how much do you pay attention during the offseason, you know, whether it's medicinal marijuana, whether it's possible rules changes, anything coming from the commissioner's office – are you the kind of player who is honed in on that, or do you just basically want to know what you need to know? How closely do you follow the league in the offseason?
Well, they definitely make sure that we know the new rules that come out.
Yep.
Like, as of now, we're still going over tackling rules, going over defensive pass interference. Of course, you know, they have that new rule set in where they can replay DPI and OPIs now.
Yeah. You like that?
No, not at all.
That's going to be terrible for
not
you.
At all.
It's going to be terrible for you.
Yeah, so, I mean, it takes some of the game away. I feel like some of the fun from the game, but you just got to try to find a way.
Do you have to change technique a little bit knowing that now, I mean, certain things you know you could get away with.
Yeah.
You're going to have to change things up a little bit?
I mean, really, I just get a gauge based off the referees for that day. So we scout our teams that we play against our opponents, but we also scout the referees for that week.
Like tendencies and how
how often they call certain flags and whatnot. So, I mean, I'm going to get a feel throughout the game, especially in the early part of the game, and then go from there.
What about the no blindside blocking? That's a big one.
Yeah, I like it, though, because they can't blindside me.
I hear you, but it's not football anymore. I mean, how could you not block somebody? I mean, that's part of the deal. If somebody runs 15 yards downfield and is committed, I hear you. It's about safety. Trust me, I get it. We don't want to see you guys get hurt. But, you know, if I'm a tight end or a running back, whatever, and I hold behind 15 yards downfield and I level somebody and I spring my guy loose 30 yards to the house, I want to get rewarded. I don't want to get hit with a penalty on that.
I feel you on that, but, I mean, when I was in Little League, I used to love crackback and play.
Oh, I can imagine.
I did it all the time. But nowadays, I look at football a little differently. So, you know, I want to protect. Even though I'm going against my opponent and I want to beat my opponent, you also got to protect them as well.
No question. It's a brotherhood. There's no doubt. It's about safety. It's a different time. It's 2019. The awareness of the brain, it's paramount. So they have to do this. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. All right, James, what do you have? So, Mike, what is it, a charity walk? It's an arthritis walk?
Yes, sir.
So you're already walking for arthritis, anticipating that you will have arthritis? What do you have going on? It's June 1st. What do you have coming up?
June 1st. I mean, pretty much.
Because you can walk for me and act, because we're getting old. We have arthritis.
Hey,
well, this guy has arthritis. I don't have it yet.
It's from those days in Charlotte.
I mean, what's going on?
The stigma is that older people get arthritis. Yeah. And I want to break that stigma and show that, you know, younger people also have arthritis. Little kids, it's all different forms of arthritis. You know, I'm trying to bring awareness to that.
Okay.
So initially it was because of my grandmother. Yeah. But as I started doing my research, you know, kind of widened my perspective on it. And, you know, I'm trying to break that stigma.
Now, no doubt. Have you ever had a surgery, like even a minor surgery?
I had one on my hand.
You did? What, did they opened you up? What was the plate? Or, it was a plate or something?
No, it was a bone. So I broke my bone and they put a pin in there.
A couple of pins?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that the hamate bone? Is that what that was?
Yes, sir.
There you go. That's a tough one for baseball, but you can play with that football.
You're a tough kid. Yeah, yeah.
Although, I don't know if you could cook with that thing. These guys are telling me you like to cook a little bit, huh?
I try to cook.
Are you good?
I'm getting good. I'm getting pretty good.
What does that mean, getting good?
Do you like
to take chances? What's your main dish?
I started off with turkey burgers. I think I perfected that craft.
Okay. If you couldn't perfect that, you're not a cook. I mean, anybody could do that.
I got into baked chicken, broccoli. I do a little healthy vegetables.
Now we're going.
So now I'm trying to get better at soul food.
Okay, that's tough. There's a lot of spices there. Yeah. That's got to be tough. You got some recipes from Grandma or Ma?
I got to talk to my grandmother.
Okay.
She's going through dementia right now, so she doesn't have...
Oh, man.
She doesn't
sorry
have
to
all... It's all good. We handling it, though.
Yeah.
Is it
really advanced, or is it still early enough where it's kind of... It fluctuates where she's okay one day, and then it gets...
It fluctuates.
Okay.
Fluctuates.
I definitely don't want to end the interview on that, but sorry to hear that... Well, listen, she at least saw you make it to the NFL.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, she was of sound mind. She was good to go.
Yes, sir.
Nice, man. James, good having you in, brother. Keep working on that. Bring me some food next time, will you? I'm hungry. God forbid Santa brings the town food. Got no food around here. D-Cell, bring us some food, will you? This is what I have to work with, Eric DJ. This is the reaction I get. You see that?
Yeah, I don't think he really cares.
He doesn't care at all. He's saying, get me to the weekend. James Bradberry from the Carolina Panthers. All right, looking forward to a good season.
Thank you.
You got it, man. Good having you on the show. Axe Update is right now. We'll do football at the 40s after that. Then we'll get back to the hoops right here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, it's the golf's. It's golf's next major is the world's best. The prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. And Tiger goes for back-to-back majors and... Number 16 overall, it's the PGA Championship next weekend on CBS, and that is going to be a blast. Bethpage is an absolute beast of a course. I mean, it's, you know, I said to Jason Day, who we had on the show yesterday, it's on Tiki and Tierney, YouTube, Apple iTunes, Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, a million ways to find it. If you're a golf fan, definitely go get your hands on it. It was a great spot with one of the great players in the game, and really good guy, too. Jason was just cool, just relatable, down to earth, really easy interview. And, you know, I said to him, I think that that Bethpage is going to mirror more of a U.S. Open setup than a PGA championship, where obviously the rough is far more punitive and the greens are going to be rolling a little quicker, maybe pinch those fairways a little bit so they're narrow. So there's a premium on ball striking and length. And it's a lot of the greens. Having played there once, but a lot of the greens are uphill, so you know there's that false front. It is everything you can ask for in a golf test, and it's going to be awesome next week on CBS. We've got the Byron Nelson going on this weekend here. Let's see, leaderboard. Jordan Spieth is. Sung Kang. I don't know this name from. I believe they're Korean. I believe Sung is Korean. Minus 16. All right, so. We're starting to run away with a little bit. Matt Everys, minus 12. Names you would recognize for sure. Jordan Spieth, minus 7. Henrik Stenson's, minus 6. Brooks Koepka's playing, minus 6 there. Jonas Blixt is a name you probably know. Rory Sabatini. You know, Rory Sabatini, I mean, he was dead for a couple of years when Tiger just squashed him. Remember that? They had a little beef and Tiger rubbed him out. I think it was a match play event. Just crushed him and seemingly crushed his golfing soul because Rory Sabatini disappeared for years. But he's had a little comeback. I think every time I look at an event, he's at least somewhere within the first page. Who else jumps out? And then we'll get to football at the 40s, get back to the hoops as well. Daniel Berger's a name you know probably. All right, Patrick Reed's playing, Patty Perez, Patty Harrington, minus 4. So certainly worth tuning in this weekend. But next weekend, the PGA Championship. Football at the 40s, let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Mike will be me today. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, well, we have a new leader in the clubhouse for largest contract ever for a defensive back.
Okay.
It's no longer Josh Norman. It's not Richard Sherman. It's not Patrick Peterson.
Nor should it be.
It's the Miami Dolphins' Xavien Howard.
Good. He's good.
Good player.
He's very good.
Couple of first year, couple seasons at the beginning was kind of under the radar. Broke out last year, 11 interceptions. But is it a little bit early to be giving him this kind of money?
No, not if you believe he's the right man for the job. And I think this is very smart what the Dolphins are doing. You know, again, it's $76.5 million, about 46 or so, 45 guaranteed. So, you know, that's $30 million. That's a little misleading. It's not 76, it's 46. And I like what the Dolphins are doing. Now they've got to wrap up, and they will, Laremy Tunsil, their outstanding young left tackle, and they're building it the right way. Think about the non-negotiable components. I know the Patriots are a little different because Brady and Belichick can allow you to be different and give you some wiggle room at other spots. But basically, the core of every championship team, you got to have a left tackle. You have to have, you know, there's no such thing as a real shutdown corner, but you need a top-flight corner. And you need a quarterback, clearly, and, you know, pass rusher as well. And I love what they're doing. So they sign up. They sign their corner here, who they believe in, Howard. They'll get Tunsil next to anchor the left side of the offensive line for at least the next 5, 6, 7 years, maybe more. They're kicking the tires on Josh Rosen on a very cheap deal, so they're trying to explore the quarterback market. If they bomb this year or Rosen bombs, then they draft either Tua or Herbert next year from Oregon. There's a lot of things that I like the direction the Dolphins are going just because, Mike, and I don't mean this toward you, but just because you don't know his name necessarily doesn't mean he's not good. He's a really good player. I think this is a smart move by the Dolphins. I actually like it.
Westgate out in Vegas has updated post-NFL draft.
Oh, wait. Do I need the sharp shades for this one? Oh, yeah.
All right, sharp shades. Let's go. All right, obviously, number one. Defending champion Patriots.
Under.
Okay. They're at 11.
Under.
So you're saying under for the Patriots.
Yes, division will be better.
Chiefs, 10.5.
I would say I could see the, you know, I don't know that I would bet that one because I could see them lose it. I would say, you know, Patrick Mahomes was not quite the same player the final 3 weeks of the season. I would say 10-6 seems like the play, which means I would bet under if I was going to bet it. 10-6 seems a little more plausible than 11-5 or 12-4.
Division's better. Tyreek Hill's gone. Kareem Hunt is gone.
No doubt.
Defensive upgrades, but we don't know quite yet.
Yep.
The Rams are at 10.5.
I might take under on that because the division's getting a little bit better. Niners have Garoppolo back. Yep, I'd probably say under on that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
New Orleans Saints,
what's
10.5 after 13 wins last year.
I would say under on that as well.
All right, now this one for me, I mean, I'm not a shark by any means.
Well, no but kidding. You're more like a guppy.
Yeah.
In terms of the betting prowess.
Plankton, maybe. Who knows?
Nice.
At the end of the day, this one, though, seems like a given to me. 9.5 for the Chargers. They had 12 wins last year. They've done nothing to get worse. Instead, Joey Bosa is going to be healthy for the entire year.
Yep.
You would think. Hunter Henry should be back healthy for the year.
Hunter Henry.
Don't you think that the Chargers are going to be a little bit better than 9.5 over-under?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that one almost seems almost like a given to me.
Which means why they'll probably be 8-8. Anything that seems like a given usually is not, but I would put money, obviously. There was no way I'd put money on the under. It's just whether or not I actually would put it. I'd probably put it on the over, yeah. I like the Chargers.
All right, so instead of going through all 32 teams, any other teams that you want
give
to
give me
hear?
The Jets.
The Jets. Now, let me scroll down. Scrolling.
Keep going.
Last year had four wins.
Guess.
This year over under,
seven and a half. Okay. I think the Jets will be pretty competitive. I'll go at least 8-8.
Wow. With
listen, they brought in Mosley.
I know.
Sam Darnold's going to be terrific.
I agree. But who's he throwing it to?
What's that?
Who's he throwing it to?
You brought in Jameson Crowder. You got Anderson. You got a tight end in Hearn. Then you got Le'Veon Bell. Jets will be at least 8-8. I'm definitely betting that. Next.
Give me check down Charlie.
Stop. Give me the Giants. What are the Giants have to be about 5.5 or 6?
6.
Okay. I would bet the. Sorry, Tiki. I would bet the under on that. Give me my father-in-law's Browns. What are the Browns at?
They're at 7.
I would bet the over.
No, I'm sorry. The Browns are at 9. I'm sorry, they're at 9.
I'd still bet the over on that.
Okay.
Give me my wife's Dallas Cowboys.
9 as well.
I could see that being a push. I would I would probably go, I would go 10. I would go 10 more so than 8. So I would say over there.
And the bottom two teams, you got the Dolphins and Cardinals pulling in at 5.
I would go under on both. Give me my mother-in-law's Kansas City Chiefs, born in the state of Kansas.
Well, we already went through the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
10
and right.
a half.
And what am I saying?
Yeah.
That's right.
Moving on.
That's okay. Give me my third cousin's neighbor's dog's watcher's whatever.
All right, now let's clarify Mistress. Some comments from Odell Beckham. We talked about his comments a few days ago about the Browns hoping to become the new Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decided to go on Instagram and clarify.
Little IG.
He says, I will always aspire to be great. I haven't reached the point in the NFL, but that's where we all chase. And I'm going to continue to help work the Browns to become great. Never meant the Browns are the new Patriots or going to become the new Patriots. Just I have a great respect for what they've done and recognize the work that they've done to get there.
Okay.
Does that clarify things?
Yeah.
Did you give him a hard time in the beginning for saying
it? I didn't give him a hard time. You know, my only problem, not even problem, but my only mild critique of what he said, I just think it's unfair to Freddie Kitchens because every time one of the players comes out and says something like this, and again, you love the confidence and the perspectives, it's a great one to pursue. I mean, it's a great thing to try to replicate the sustained brilliance of the Patriots. Are you kidding me? Did he have to go and clarify this? No. Do I think it's cool that he did? Yeah. I don't think he needed to wiggle off any hook. I didn't think he was in any hot water. You know, I just don't know, although Freddie Kitchens seems to be very adept at swiping this stuff away with a very blue-collar approach, which is, I think, going to be very beneficial for him. I just don't think it does Freddie any favors when everybody's talking about these ridiculous these goals for a team that hasn't done a damn thing ever. I mean, since Jim Brown. So, no, but I'm not a huge Odell Beckham Jr. fan. You know that because I think he's a little bit too immature. But I was okay with what he said initially, and I'm certainly cool with what he said on Instagram. No problem at all.
Someone else defending OBJ is former Giants teammate Landon Collins, now with the Redskins, signed a huge deal this offseason. And he said that he wasn't shocked that Odell was traded. He said, quote, it felt like they felt like he was a problem the whole time. Ever since Odell stepped into the league with them, they felt like he was a problem. He continued on saying, we loved Odell. He is my brother. He's not that kind of guy or what people think he is about or what the organization did. I don't know why.
Hmm.
So it seems like while from the outside, he might look like an immature kid who proposes to Nets and hits people illegally after plays and goes to Miami to party, but seems like his teammates loved him, and it seems like people around him who play with him love him.
We've never doubted that. We've always viewed Odell Beckham Jr. as a great teammate because he plays his behind off. He's incredibly talented. He's transcendent talent. Listen, I you certainly have to respect a teammate's position on another teammate. They would know better than me, but because they work with him and they live with him in essence, you know, on a day-to-day basis. My problem with Odell Beckham Jr., this is where I would respectfully disagree with Landon, is that a lot of the things we reacted to were the things that Odell Beckham Jr. gave us ammunition to react to. You know, when, again, it seems like a little trivial thing, but when you're kicking a net and then proposing to it, which was even more bizarre, you know, and the gyrations, give me the ball, the selfishness, and Philadelphia lifting up his leg like a dog, like he was urinating on a fire hydrant. I mean, come on. Come on. And then you mix in the fact that he hasn't won anything. So it all added up to a very underwhelming, interesting saga in Giants history because he's the best. You know, I mean, as great as my partner is in terms of talent. I mean, and Tiki would be the first to tell you, Odell's twice as talented as Tiki was. Tiki had to work for everything. Nothing was handed to Tiki. Tiki was a second-round guy. He had to put on 40 pounds. He had to really change his body. Had to learn how to hold on to the football. I mean, Tiki earned his stardom. And Odell is earning his as well, but he's just more physically gifted. So Odell Beckham Jr. is the most talented Giant outside of Lawrence Taylor ever. And his talent was not commensurate with the win total. And that was always my issue, and he was just immature. But I don't think he's a bad guy, and I never have.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, I got to get back to Harden, and I have to get back to that LeBron James Lakers stuff because we obviously broke for an interview with James Bradbury of the Panthers. A lot of you started calling, want to chime in on the Lakers stuff about possibly trading LeBron James, something we talked about months ago on the show. 855-212-4227, third hour on a Friday. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.